Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truths and the myths of the people and events that have created the Sunshine City. Hi, my name is Rui Frias, and as I always love to say, I have the best job in town. I'm the executive director of the St. Petersburg Museum of History. Located on the pier, the Museum of History has been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for over 103 years now, and we're happy to share them with you here on Radio St. Pete. So with all the talk that's been in the news lately of Tropicana Field, of the gas plant area, and now a potential new owner for the Tampa Bay Rays, I thought it'd be interesting and fun to have a look back at kind of how all this began with the man that's credited with bringing baseball here to the Sunshine City. So whether he was known as Mr. Baseball or Mr. Tourism, there will only be one Al Lang in St. Pete's history. Born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1870, Albert Fielding Lang, yes, Fielding was actually his middle name, had three loves: his wife, baseball, and Spetersburg, as he called it on Lowell Thomas's world-famous radio show. Lang quit school and went to work in a laundry at the age of 14. He lived in a hotel that doubled as the visiting team hotel of anyone that came to town to play against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So naturally, he befriended dozens of Major League Baseball players and managers. His mother once told Al Lang that he would amount to nothing if he kept hanging around those swearing, tobacco-chewing, whiskey-drinking ball players. Those players would later make him a legend. By 1895, he had opened his own laundry, and he was on his way to a wealthy life. But on his 39th birthday, his doctor told him he was dying of a respiratory illness and he only had 6 months left to live. So he did what every ill person did at the beginning of the 20th century. He married his longtime sweetheart, packed their bags, and headed to Florida. His destination was Fort Myers, where Thomas Edison and Henry Ford took up their winter residences. But on the way, Lang and his wife, Catherine, who reportedly had more jewels than a European princess, stopped and visited St. Petersburg. And within days, they had purchased a home on Beach Drive. Nothing short of a miracle, Lang's illness disappeared after a year in St. Petersburg, and he went to work to transform this quaint little fishing village into a tourist-driven city. Civic leaders had tried to lure Major League Baseball to St. Petersburg for years prior to this and failed miserably. But using his connections in baseball from his childhood days in Pittsburgh, Lang started making calls, or rather sending telegrams. The Pittsburgh Pirates were, of course, first on his list, but owner Barney Dreyfus rebuffed the overture, writing, "You must think I'm a damn fool to train in a whistle-stop little one-tank town." Well, now, Al Lang didn't stop there. Right. And even though Al Lang always gets credit for bringing spring training to St. Petersburg, my archive staff and volunteers, after months of research, are confident that although Lang started the train in motion, he wasn't present when the agreement was actually signed to bring the St. Louis Browns to St. Petersburg in 1914. The story goes that he did review the agreement after it was signed and the Browns were already playing here and wanted to change it. Thus, the reason why the Browns left after the 1914 spring training season with a bad taste in their mouth for St. Petersburg. But he did convince the Philadelphia Phillies to leave North Carolina and come to St. Petersburg for spring training in 1915. It was an instant success, both for us and Philadelphia. That season, the Phillies went on to win 14 of their first 15 regular season games en route to winning the pennant. The Phillies' success put St. Petersburg permanently on the baseball map, and before long, America's pastime had become St. Petersburg's passion. The original stadium, if you really want to call it that, it was basically a field with some wooden stands, was known as Sunshine Park, but better known as Coffee Pot Park, located off of Coffee Pot Bayou. Its exact location has been a mystery for years, until recently when the museum teamed up with Sabre, a group of researchers of baseball, and uncovered the exact spot. But that's going to be for another broadcast. We're not going to talk about that here. The city needed a proper stadium, because that stadium or that field on Coffee Pot just wouldn't cut it for Major League Baseball. So land was cleared just south of the railroad tracks and east of Beach Drive. Waterfront Park was born. Lang, who never played baseball himself, then convinced the Boston Braves to spend the spring in St. Petersburg of 1921. He then corralled the New York Yankees in 1925 and the St. Louis Cardinals in 1938. He also convinced other cities around Florida to build stadiums and entice Major League Baseball teams to train there. This pretty much led to the birth of the Grapefruit League here in Florida. The arrival of the Phillies established Lang as a local hero, and in 1916 he became mayor, defeating Noel Mitchell in the election. He won re-election easily in 1918 and proved to be the city's most aggressive mayor. His ambitious plan was to turn St. Petersburg into a full-fledged city. Now, although he fought for better schools and other public items, he was actually more concerned with the physical appearance of the city. He wanted to turn us into a major location, a major tourism location. One of his first actions was to help write the Green Bench Ordinance. At that time, there were hundreds of benches that lined Central Avenue, and they were a variety of colors. Lang thought the benches made the city look low class, and these benches were placed there originally by Noel Mitchell, but then other retailers and establishments picked up on the idea and started flooding downtown with these benches in front of their businesses. So the travel-weary tourists that arrived would have a place to sit and relax, of course, before they would open their checkbook and invest in St. Petersburg. So he worked with council, and they wrote and he signed the ordinance requiring all the benches on public property to be the same size. Slats would be the same size. The benches would be the same height, the same width. And of course, all painted green bench green. Now, there's two pretty amazing stories to the green benches. And again, that's going to be a topic for another broadcast. In addition to the green bench ordinance, the paving of St. Petersburg's brick streets also started during his term, as did the building of the band shells in Williams Park, seawalls, and the construction of the open-air post office that we have today. Lang also sponsored Sign Pulling Down Day on July 15th to rid the downtown business district of dozens of assorted overhanging signs, which he claimed gave the city a hick look. So he recognized the growing importance of the tourist industry. This was something new. People were coming to St. Petersburg originally because of their health, much like he did. And it wasn't until the early teens, actually, that the idea of tourism really started to take hold. Lang played a leading role in the creation of the Festival of States, the spring music and parade celebration designed to extend the tourist season two additional weeks. Lang's tourist-oriented administration represented an important turning point in our city's economic and political history. So as the years went and baseball continued, to honor Al Lang, when Waterfront Park became antiquated, on March 12, 1947, a new Waterfront Baseball Stadium was opened, and it was named Al Lang Field, and it became home to the Yankees and the Cardinals. The commissioner of Major League Baseball and dozens of stars and past stars were present, of course, for the opening of Al Lang Field. In later years, and you could always find Lang in that stadium anytime there was a spring training game. He'd be chatting with players. Sometimes if they were short on ushers, he'd help usher. He would sell programs. He would help scorekeep up in the press box in the stadium. And one day, as the story goes, while the U.S. Coast Guard still had its Coast Guard air station at Albert Whitted Airport, while there was a spring training game going on, the Coast Guard decided to start doing practice maneuvers, taking off, landing, trying to pick people, things up off the water. And the planes taking off and landing from Albert Whitted Airport was pretty much disturbing the game that was going on in Al Lang Stadium. So the story goes that he got on the phone, called somebody in Tallahassee, who called somebody in Washington, and next thing you know, the planes stopped flying until the game was over. So that shows you the power that Al Lang had here in this city. Now, Al Lang's long-term love, his wife, died in 1954 at their Beach Drive home. And in February of 1960, Lang died of pneumonia at age 89 in St. Anthony's Hospital, 50 years after his doctor told him he would die. A funeral service was held for Al Lang in Al Lang Stadium. It was attended by over 3,000 people, including a virtual who's who of Major League Baseball. Walter Fuller once said, "Florida stole the spring baseball show from California and Texas, and Al Lang deserves the credit." Al Lang was in a class by himself. So as now we move forward in our baseball history here in St. Petersburg, we are happy to have a look back at the man who helped create that history, Al Lang. So I invite you to tune in weekly to RadioSt.Pete.com for Historically St. Pete, and to stop by the St. Petersburg Museum of History on your next visit to the pier and explore the rich and unique history of the Sunshine City, including Schrader's Little Cooperstown exhibit, which is a baseball exhibit of the world's largest collection of autographed baseballs. And it's not just baseball. It tells the history of our country and baseball throughout this exhibit, including spring training here in St. Petersburg. You can visit historystpete.org for more details on our exhibits and events. Thanks for listening, and join us next week on Historically St. Pete.